Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
Indeed it does. From the Polyester Pleasure Palace on the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my price range, it's Jim Valley.
Hey, this is the Nature Boy Ric Flair looking for Jim, by God, woo, Valley. Hey, Jim, I know you're the man. You are Jim. Woo, by God, Valley. And I'm Ric Flair, 14-time World Heavyweight Champion. And telling you, Jim Valley, you are, woo, the man.
The show is Wrestling Road Stories. Back when the beer was cold, the rats were hot, the people believed it was real, and we sold out everywhere. Everywhere. That's right, the show that 4 out of 5 trailer parks approve of. Wrestling Road Stories. Each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch live cast from 5 o'clock on the East Coast, 2 o'clock here, my time zone on the West Coast, and all around the world live and free at PWTorchLiveCast.com. You could also get it commercial free if you sign up to be a VIP member at PWTorch.com/GoVIP. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at Jim Valley, J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. You can also find me on Facebook, as always. Add me there. That's cool. If by chance we don't have any similar friends, send me a message just so I know you're not a webcam girl, because I don't want any webcam girls on my Facebook. You know, that's for my private browser history, not the Facebook. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're showing your backside in your profile picture on your Facebook, yeah, probably not going to add you. So send me a message. But if we have like the same similar friends, like if you're friends with like Bruce or Pat or Wade or whomever, I'll be able to determine that you probably are not a webcam girl. But if by chance we don't have a similar friend, send me a message so I know that you are not a webcam girl. That should be a Jay Giles song. My angel is a webcam girl. Does she snap? Does she chat? Will she Facebook me? Anyway, enough about that. We have got a show for you today. B. Brian Blair, former wrestler, Florida guy, one half of the Killer Bees, and now the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club. The guy is just hilarious. He has got so many stories, and I love having him on. So we'll talk stories. We'll talk Florida. You know, Florida, they just did a Legends reunion breakfast tour down there this past weekend. They do a very exclusive thing. It's more expensive, but you get more one-on-one access with the Legends of Florida Wrestling, and Brian Blair was a part of that. So we'll talk about that and some of the experiences. Matter of fact, they go to some of the old bars and restaurants that used to be Florida wrestling hangouts. They even go to the graveyard where Cowboy Luttrell is buried. And they do a few other interesting things like that. So we'll talk to B. Brian Blair about that. Plus, we'll talk about the Cauliflower Alley. And Cauliflower Alley has an exciting new host for their radio show. It's me! Okay, not that exciting, but still, I'm going to be taking over Cauliflower Radio, so you can find it at their website at CauliflowerAlleyClub.org, and we'll talk about that, talk about kind of the vision and the mission statement of the Cauliflower Alley Club. I think it does some pretty cool things you may want to be a part of, so we'll talk about that and more. Plus, I'm also doing my other podcast because, you know, honestly, I don't know why. I don't know why, but I'm doing it. It's called Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling, and it's with Fumi Saito, who I consider to be one of the top wrestling journalists and historians in the entire world. He's based in Japan. I'm in Seattle, so thus the Pacific Rim, because we're both here on the Pacific Rim. But we cover from Seattle to Tokyo and all points throughout history, I like to say. But so this past week, if you download it, you can find it on your iTunes. You can just search for it at Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling. And you can download it there, just do the search. Or if you follow me on any of the social platforms, you can find links there. But we had some interesting conversations. You know, he was there when Joe Doering won the All Japan Triple Crown title this past week. He was also there for the weird Antonio Inoki show. Antonio Inoki is still alive, but Inoki had a funeral show, like a memorial show at Sumo Hall. So we'll talk about that. We also talk about that. And talk about Debbie Malenko is coming back to Japan. We talk about Atsushi Anita, all kinds of different things. So be sure to check it out. It's a pretty good show. And also, the other thing we do on the show, if you're interested in history, is, as you know, Wade has talked about it, Dave's talked about, or Bruce has talked about it. Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, has a Hall of Fame for the Observer. And we go over all of the candidates, the Japan candidates. Not all of them are Japanese, but all of the candidates who are eligible, who wrestled in Japan, who are eligible for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. So we go through all of them, rate them, talk about their place in history and whether or not they should be in the Hall of Fame. So I thought that was a pretty interesting discussion. And honestly, you know, both Dave and Wade, they'll tell you this. This is no secret. I'm not talking out of school, but they both get a lot of their Japan information and Japan news from Fumi Saito. So you can, you know, that this is a good source, and he's a great guy. So you can check that out with, it's called Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling with me, Jim Valley, and Fumi Saito. We'll drop the next one this weekend. I'm excited for this next podcast because when I was in Japan and I met Fumi the first time 10 years ago, we talked about Ricky Steamboat. And, you know, any Twitter, any feed seems to think that Rick Steamboat is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and I'm not disputing that. However, Fumi brought up a great point that Rick Steamboat didn't get over very well in Japan when he made his brief appearances there, and probably wouldn't get over there for any extended period of time because of the way he sells, because he looks too weak to the Japanese fan. So this week on the show, we are going to talk about successful wrestlers, not guys who are lower level or whatever, but successful wrestlers who are successful either in North America or Japan, whose act did not translate overseas. So like Rick Steamboat would be an example of a great wrestler who had tremendous success here in the United States, but did not do very well in Japan. So we'll talk about those type of people, and vice versa, by the way. We'll talk about those type of people coming up. So I think it's going to be a great conversation. So check it out. Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling. You can find it. Just search your search whatever app you use to download your podcast, and it'll come right up because it is on iTunes. And if you like it, please share it. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. You know, yesterday was Halloween, and, you know, it got me thinking about Starrcade and Halloween Havoc. And so I want to talk about that coming up just a couple of minutes when we come back here on Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley here on the PW Torch live cast with Jim Valley.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw at my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
You know who never gets invited on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast? Me. Like, everybody on the Torch has got to do it. I never get asked. Ever. It's a conspiracy, I tell you. It's a conspiracy. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Road Stories every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the very strong download numbers. I do have strong download numbers here on the Livecast, despite the fact that I'm never on the Wade Keller podcast. Never. Do all the grunt work, never get asked to do any of the good stuff. Story of my life. Story of my life. It's like at my regular job, pretty much. Anyway, coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll talk to B. Brian Blair. But first, you know, yesterday was Halloween, and that used to mean for WCW Halloween Havoc. I was thinking about Halloween Havoc, and, you know, Starrcade is coming up. WWE is doing a house show in Charlotte, and they're calling it Starrcade. And a lot of people, you know, assume and just kind of, I guess it's always been kind of just thought of because it's the granddaddy of them all. Starrcade is the quintessential WCW pay-per-view. But you know what? I got to thinking about it. I don't think it is. I mean, I really think that the legacy of Starrcade, and Dusty Rhodes came up with Starrcade, and to be honest, Dusty Rhodes kind of ruined the legacy of Starrcade because he made it the Battle Bowl. I mean, which was a disaster as a show, and it got a terrible buy rate. I mean, could you see with WrestleMania, Vince McMahon doing a random show? Hey, we're going to do a random draw this year for WrestleMania. No, they would never do that. I mean, thinking that really, you know, and they did Battle Bowl twice for Starrcade, which sucked. They also did that Future Shock tournament, which well, it kind of sucked. And, you know, like the Hogan Sting main event kind of ruined that Starrcade. You know, the biggest Starrcade of all time was kind of ruined there. And, you know, the last couple of Starrcades, you know, where Goldberg lost to Kevin Nash. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think, tarnished history of Starrcade that people overlook. I mean, when you think about it, there really aren't that many great matches at Starrcade, really. I mean, in the beginning, it was awesome. Flair for a Gold, The Gathering, all that good stuff. But toward the end, it was kind of mediocre at best. And that's why I think Halloween Havoc really is the quintessential WCW pay-per-view. I mean, Halloween and wrestling, in my mind, because of the crazy costumes and everything, really kind of fit together. It's really kind of surprising that WWE never did more with the Halloween theme consistently. They did some stuff with Mankind and stuff, but consistently with Halloween theme, because it seems like a match to me. And when you look at Halloween Havoc, I mean, sure, it had some crazy, goofy stuff, like the Chamber of Horrors and some other crap like that. They always promoted it like it was a big deal. And you look back and you see, you know, some of the big matches in Halloween Havoc, you know, Goldberg and Diamond Dallas Page, the Thunderdome match, and all that kind of stuff. I really think that more than Starrcade, I think Halloween Havoc is really the quintessential WCW pay-per-view. And Starrcade really is more of the Crockett NWA pay-per-view, or extravaganza before pay-per-views. But that's kind of my thought on it. I don't know what you think about that, but you can tweet me. What do you think? I think Starrcade, I think it was kind of ruined, to be honest. It was ruined by Hogan and Sting. Kind of ruined because of the stupid Battle Bowls. Dusty Rhodes and his goofy rings. Dusty Rhodes always was fast because Rhodes loved football and college football and just football. And so he wanted that Super Bowl ring. So, I mean, he did it in Florida where he won the Lords of the Ring. And then they had the Battle Bowl ring and, you know, just all this. They always loved the rings, which rings are they're great to look at in real life. I don't know if you've ever seen like a copy or a real life Super Bowl ring or something. They're cool looking in person, but on television, you need a big belt. The ring just looks, you can't even see it on TV. It was stupid. So I think, my opinion is, I think when it comes to quintessential WCW pay-per-views, even War Games, probably more than Starrcade. But that's just that's just my thought. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to B. Brian Blair, talk to him about the Cauliflower Alley Club and some other stuff here. He's a great storyteller. I always enjoy having him on, and we will have him on coming up next here on the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley, and it is a Wednesday, so that always means it's a very popular Wrestling Road Stories, and we'll tell some stories coming up next.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
It's Jim Valley. We're back here on Wrestling Road Stories each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley, and coming up, we're going to talk to you. We're placing the call right now to the man, B. Brian Blair. You, of course, know him as the Killer Bees. I always think of him as a Florida guy, as a guy who was in Florida.
Brian!
Hey, man. It's Jim Valley.
What's up, Big Jim?
Nothing, man. How are you?
Doing fabulous. Just jumped off the cross trainer, and so if I'm a little winded, excuse me.
You know, I got to tell you, man, you keep it in amazing condition. It's ridiculous how great you look. What kind of regimen do you do?
I really appreciate that, Jim. It's just you know, I do an hour of cardio on the cross trainer, the elliptical, 3 to 4 days a week. Then I do a lot of calisthenics, Hindu squats, push-ups, sit-ups, a lot of stretching, and dumbbells, a lot of dumbbell work. I have, you know, everything at home, so it's nice when it's at home. Some people let it become clutter, but I happen to use it.
You mean you don't hang your clothes on it?
Well, actually, I do have a couple pieces of clothes on my Stairmaster, but I just don't use it. I fell in love with the elliptical. So you know, you work your upper body and your lower body at the same time. But the most important thing, and everybody should realize, is you know, besides exercise, is your diet and drinking a lot of water. Drinking water right before, if everybody drank a bottle of water right before they ate, they would melt fat. And just stay away from you know, anything light, sugar, flour, you know, stuff like that, salt.
How are your knees these days, given so many wrestlers have got knee issues?
Well, I had 4 knee operations before I got my right one replaced about 12 years ago. And, you know, that didn't stop me from working or doing what I want to do. It's great. So the knees are, you know, both knees are really good, actually.
That's great. So, hey, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is we've talked about it before, and I mentioned it here, that you are the president of the Cauliflower Alley Club. And I just kind of want to talk a little bit about the mission statement. Why don't you explain to people who may not know exactly what the Cauliflower Alley Club is, who is a part of it, and its mission statement?
Well, it's pretty simple. The Cauliflower Alley Club is a 53-year-old nonprofit institute that was started by Mike Mazurki in 1965. And the tradition has carried on. We help wrestlers or people from the wrestling industry. It could be someone, an announcer or, you know, broadcaster or referee or whatever. We assist people from that made a living in the wrestling industry when they fall on difficult financial times. And all of the money that we raise goes to that purpose. And for that purpose, we have a board of 7 people, and we have 3 associates, as well as a little over 1,000 active members. About 300 are wrestlers, many of them active, some retired, and the rest are just great fans, you know, good fans that are nice people. We only allow nice people in the Cauliflower Alley Club. So the 53rd is a reunion, and everyone is just off the charts. We get thousands of people through there, our nostalgia room, Our banquets were, or the last 3 years, 3.5 years since I've been president, we've been sold out, which depending on the room we get, the room arrangement we get is anywhere from 500 to 750 people at the banquet room. And it's a lot of fun. We have, there's 2 days of matches that Vendetta Wrestling puts on, which would be April 28th and 29th. And then April 30th is the beginning of the actual CAC through May 2nd. But you've got the Hoover Dam around there very close, within an hour's drive. You can go to the Grand Canyon, which is less than 2 hours away, or about 2 hours away. And we get discounts on budget rent-a-car. We get hotel rooms for like $45. It's a wonderful time of camaraderie, and we always have awesome honorees. It's just, it's a great time. So it's a 501c3 that helps people in the wrestling industry, as I said, that fall on bad financial times. And these are people that, I mean, have made a lot of money in the most, for the most part, have made a lot of money in the wrestling business. And for some reason, disease, divorce, diabetes, you know, they met Bernie Madoff. Some reason they've, they need a hand up. And the Cauliflower Alley Club is there continuously helping people. I mean, like every week we're helping someone.
Well, and I don't know if you, I know that obviously because of HIPAA and things, some people like it private, but I remember at this last banquet you'd mentioned, for example, I believe it was you've helped Kamala with helping him with his van to make it more accessible for him and things like that. You helped Frenchie Martin. You mentioned Frenchie, and so you've done. It's nice to hear just a couple of the things that you guys have done. That's very nice to, like you said, being wealthy or having money isn't always a permanent condition. And, life does happen. So it's nice to have, someone there to give you a little bit of help when you need it.
Absolutely, Jim. Absolutely. And, I always, I've always really appreciated my colleagues. And so it's just a driving force behind my heart that keeps me every single day doing something for the club. And when you see people like Brickhouse Brown, who literally credits the Cauliflower Alley Club. And again, like you said, we don't mention people that we've helped unless they've given us permission to mention their name. And that, they're big, rah-rah, happy Cauliflower Alley Club supporters. And, you can go to caulifloweralleyclub.org for all the information about everything to our website. But Kamala, great guy, wonderful guy. Bobby Heenan, great guy. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, great guy. Went through stage 4 cancer, lymph node cancer. And Paul's, still fighting different issues, some CTE issues. But these guys, medical bills, they don't forgive you for those. And they'll actually come try in some instances to take people's houses away. Just recently, Tony Marino lost his house because he did a reverse mortgage. He was Batman. I don't know if you remember Tony Marino. And he wrestled, he's 80 some years old now, but I guarantee you he could whip any 80 year old you put in front of him. The guy's amazing. He's got 19 inch arms still. And I'm serious, at 80, you've got 19 inch arms. And he comes to all of our Legends lunches as well in Tampa. But, he did a reverse mortgage and didn't pay his taxes and his insurance because he's all living on Social Security. A lot of the guys, they didn't plan for the future so well. And when they're only getting $700 or $800 a month for Social Security, it's hard to live on. And it's difficult. And going back to Brickhouse Brown, Rocky Johnson called me and said, "Hey, Brian, there's a guy, Brickhouse Brown, don't know if you know him." I said, "Well, I've heard of him. I know he broke in Florida after I left." And at the age of, Brick's 56 now, when he was a little over maybe a year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with stage 2 cancer. Shortly after, his wife left him. He didn't have any money, no insurance. His wife wiped him out and left him stranded. And he could do nothing but take pain pills. So after Rocky Johnson told me, hey, you know, what can you do for this guy? I got on the phone with him, and he's become like a very, very close friend of mine. He'll be at the Cauliflower Alley Club this year. He's gone. He went from stage 2 cancer to stage 4 cancer, and it was, again, still taking pain pills. So the Cauliflower Alley Club sent him to a doctor. That doctor wanted to cut his testicles off. So no, I'll go to another doctor first. Get another opinion, Brick. He called me just in tears and freaking out. And so I said, oh, go to another doctor, man. Don't let that guy do that. So with that said, you know, he got treatment. At that time, he weighed 162 pounds. I just got an email or a text from him today. He's up to 210 pounds. And, you know, he's happy, and he's really is a fighter, and he's not going to give up. And thank God that, you know, the Cauliflower Alley Club was there to get him the medicine and the doctor that he needed, and to keep him in his apartment and food in his stomach. So anyway, it's just another success story.
Right. And, you know, a guy like Brickhouse Brown, you know, not the biggest guy in the world. And he came up at a time where, you know, size really mattered in wrestling, and it doesn't, you know, he probably, you know, didn't make the most money out of any wrestler, which doesn't speak to the quality of person he is or the talent that he has. But it just, you know, sometimes it was just kind of the circumstances that life gives you.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. And by the way, we're so happy that you're coming on as one of our hosts with CAC Podcast. We really thank you for that.
Oh, I'm very excited about that. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I think I mentioned on the show, but for people who may not have heard it, Cauliflower Alley has got it. They call it Cauliflower Radio, but it's the podcast, and you can find it at CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. But yeah, I'm going to be hosting it along with another gentleman, Matthew Robles, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm hopeful to take things, you know, even farther than they are now, and see if we can build on the current legacy of the hosts that are going to be departing. So I'm very honored, looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm happy to be on board with such a great organization. I love the history of it. You know, you mentioned the reunions and the reunion room, and you walk into the reunion room, and there's always people scheduled who you know are going to be there, or you're told are going to be there. You know, you can expect to see Brian Blair or whomever, but you, and of course, every year the Destroyer, Dick Byer, is there, and it just blows your mind. At least it blew my mind, you know, to see Dick Byer there, you know, a guy who fought Ricky Dozan in Japan. I mean, a guy that was one of the biggest legends in the history of not only North America, but Japan, you know, still healthy and happy at his age. It's, you know, he's like, it's a human history book, for crying out loud. I know a lot of people were super happy this past time because Colonel DeBeers showed up. Ed Wiskowski was there. So aside from the people who are scheduled, you never know who's going to show up. And that's always a fun part of Cauliflower Alley. It's at the Gold Coast every year, and Brian mentioned the rates are really affordable. And I'll tell you what, the Gold Coast is much nicer than it has any right to be at that price point. It's nice, it's well lit, it's clean, it's well appointed. I'm really pleased with how they do it. I mean, I think that they could charge a lot more than they do, and it's a really nice place, and it's a great place to have Cauliflower Alley.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. You got to get Wade Keller there this year again. Maybe we get Wade there and some other guys that you know, and keep talking it up, because again, we do so much. And it's not just me. I mean, it's Morgan Dollar, it's Dean Silverstone, it's Carl Lauer, it's Gloria Lavelle, it's David Buckler, it's just Royal Duncan that produces our Ear. When somebody joins, you can join for $25 a year and get 4 copies of the Ear newsletter that's not available on the internet. And it's always fun. It explains the banquet. We have stories written by different people that are members of the Cauliflower Alley Club, and good writers and great stories because they're personal and from the heart and they're factual. And it's just four color. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot more to it than that.
And there are stories and pictures that you don't see anywhere else. I mean, there's a ton of content online. There's a ton of pictures online. And these are things from a lot of people's personal collections who are older and, you know, not necessarily online or don't have a website. So there's a lot of unique and original content and history that you get from the ear, the newsletter each month. And it's like, I don't know, it's like $300 or something like that for a lifetime membership. So it's well worth it. Or $25 a year, like Brian said. So it's very affordable, and it's really fun to go every year to go and do the Cauliflower Alley reunion. They have seminars. He mentioned they have the annual banquet where they honor a bunch of people, which I'm sure they'll be making some announcements here probably in the near future. They also do the baloney blowout. And again, there's what's really great about going to the Cauliflower Alley versus, say, and there's nothing wrong with these other things, don't misunderstand me, going to, you know, a WrestleCade or something, and those are great, but a lot of those WrestleCades or the conventions, everybody's charging you and everyone's trying to sell you something. And there are some gimmick tables at Cauliflower Alley. There's a few, but by and large, you can just walk up and say, "Hey, Sergeant Slaughter, can I get a picture real quick?" And they'll take a picture. "Hey, Destroyer, Dick Byer, tell me about Ricky Dozan." And they'll tell you a story. Or, "Hey, you know, Pepper Martin, tell me about when you wrestled for Don Owen," or whatever. It's a completely different, you know, not everybody there is looking to get money from you. And there's nothing wrong with anybody making money. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying it's a little different of a vibe. And certainly you should buy some gimmicks from people, but it's not just there for sales. There's a lot of camaraderies, I guess, is my point. And I think it's an experience that every fan should experience. And like I said, I think it's a pretty decent price point where you could pretty much go every year, or it wouldn't take you much time to save up to go some year.
That's absolutely right, Jim. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Since you brought it up, I'll go ahead and give you three of the names that will be there. The rest I'm going to leave up to our media staff to get out, but you'll be the only one one to break these.
Again, one second. Are these people who are going to make appearances, or are they going to be honored? Just for clarification.
They're going to be honored. I'm going to give you three confirmed honorees. We have several
Holy cow.
It gets a lot. It gets huge. So we're going to break it right here on Pro Wrestling Torch. Jim Valley, and you know, the Iron Mike Award winner. This guy was a heck of an amateur wrestler, and you know, a lot of people. He's definitely a legend, and he's a legend in my mind. Baron Von Raschke, Jim Raschke, will be the Iron Mike Award winner. We have Santana Garrett as women's wrestling honoree. And let me give you one more. How about the Rising Star Award, formerly called the Future Legends Award, which Kurt Angle originally won, Kevin Cross. So we've got people from indies, people that are older, that are legends, people that are younger, that are active, that'll be being honorees. All the people that you'll see, at least most, will be household names pretty much, or had been household names. And you heard the first three honorees right here on
Baron Von Raschke.
Jim Valley.
How awesome. Thank you so much. That is so awesome. I'm tickled. Baron Von Raschke, that's a great choice for the Iron Mike Award. That's about as perfect a choice as you're going to make, I think. Baron Von Raschke, as you mentioned, a legitimate wrestler, and then went on. You know, he's one of those people. You know, like yourself, Kurt Angle is another one. You know, sometimes you get an amateur wrestler and they don't pick up on some of the aspects of professional wrestling, some of the showmanship and some of the timing aspects of professional wrestling. And Raschke is one of those people who was great and, you know, took it to new heights. And everybody who doesn't love the Baron, I mean, that is all the people need to know.
That's great. I love it. He's wonderful. He's got a wonderful wife, Bonnie. And believe me, if you go up to Baron and say hello to Bonnie and call her Bonnie by name, she appreciates that more than anything. So again, we're like family at CAC. We don't have any bad people there. And we've booted people out that were rude, and even a couple wrestlers. So it's always nice people, and everybody's warm, and a lot of fun. I just can't wait.
It was so funny at the Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest, I don't know, five years ago when I was there, Baron Von Raschke was there and he was mingling with people. And, you know, you have the name tag that you wear that everybody gets. And Baron von Raschke's name tag around his neck said George Clooney.
That's Jim. He's got such a great sense of humor. I love it.
Yeah, and I had to do a double take just to make sure. I wasn't positive. Wait, is that Baron or is that George? I couldn't tell. That's awesome. That's gonna be tremendous. And you know, one of the things that's great about this is I think one of the things that you've done, Brian, and or certainly helped in, is you know, like for example, you know, helping Dave to get to Dave Meltzer to get an award, which, you know, a lot of people still kind of harbor grudges for Dave's reporting over the years and things like that. And I'm not saying anybody's right or anybody's wrong. I'm just saying it's nice to be able to kind of find some commonality and build some bridges is what I think is really nice about that.
Rich Van, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Van. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Yeah, I you know, I've always liked Dave. I used to actually buy the sheets and everybody would be pissed off in the locker room about him. But I just said, you know, the business is probably coming to this and I don't really get upset. And I just started appreciating Dave's writing. You know, I would never, and he'll tell you, I never stooged a word to him and didn't really even know him other than appreciating his journalism and, you know, always wondering who was the stooge. But anyway, you know, that's for them to know, and I don't really need to know, but it was a tremendous honor to give Dave just a well-deserved an award, and he was very grateful, and he's a humble guy, very intelligent guy. Yeah. Actually, I think he was 84. He named me the most underrated wrestler in the business. I think it was 84. And, you know, I didn't ask for that. He just did it, and I always appreciated it that because I felt like I was too.
I agree with that. I totally am on board with that. What, and you just got done this past weekend. Speaking of reunions, they did a Florida Wrestling Legends reunion. They've done this a couple of times with Barry Rose. How was that event?
Oh, it was awesome. Barry Rose and Dave Penzer put that on, and it was great because it's very intimate. A couple hundred people show up, and not only do they get to, you know, the fans interact with the wrestlers, and it's intimate, so you can talk to them and just get to be friends with them. And they actually have a dinner. J.J. Dillon and Kevin Sullivan were also there for dinner. Rocky Johnson. It was a great host of people. Tony Marino was there, and Sherry Lee. People that wrestled, they use, you know, the old championship wrestling from Florida talent. So there's a lot of people still alive. So hopefully they'll have a lot more of those Legends Fests.
And I know that, like, for example, they go to the old armory, and they also went to a couple of restaurants that were formerly owned by wrestlers. They also went to the gravesite of Cowboy Luttrell.
Yes, they did. And Cowboy Luttrell's daughter was there as well, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they put together a great weekend because we had Legends lunch coincided with that. We had, you know, over 100 people at Legends lunch, and it's not really fan based. That's just wrestlers and their family and, invited people usually from the wrestling business or, you know, just good friends. Of course, if you would have been here, we would have had you there.
Oh, you're very kind. But I mean, the Tampa area is like the wrestler capital of the world.
Yes, it really is. I think there's more people in the Tampa Bay area right now, more wrestlers in the Tampa Bay area than anywhere. I mean, you've got the Fullers, Hogan, Beefcake, Valentine, just Buddy Colt, Jerry Briscoe. I mean, you go on and on and on. Bugsy McGraw. I mean, Rocky Johnson comes. Scott Teal even came in. He's not from the Bay Area, but he came all the way from Tennessee. And just a host of others. If I start naming them all, somebody will get mad because I didn't name them.
Sure. But there's a lot.
Oh, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's a huge list. You have to go to my Facebook. Somebody posted with everybody's name there.
Is that how you won election? Just all the wrestlers voted for you? Or is that how that happened?
No, believe it or not, Jim, when I won here, I ran countywide. Hillsborough County is the 30th largest. You have to Google. We were 30th largest county in the nation. We have 1.3 million people. I'd have to check, but I probably got close to as many votes as Jesse got for governor of Minnesota, because we have more people than 10 other states just in our county. So when you run countywide, it's like running for governor of North Dakota, South Dakota,
oh, sure.
Wyoming, Montana. We're the same, almost, we're 1,078.2 square miles. Rhode Island is 1,221. So, you know, just, we're almost the size of Rhode Island, just our county in mass. It's an amazing county. It's a great place to live. You know, I know there's been publicity about the, I actually have a house that I just closed on, or somebody, I'm selling it. I flip houses too. So in the Seminole Heights area, where there's a supposed serial killer,
he
did kill three people. But we hardly ever have problems like that in Tampa, even though this whack job that hit somebody in New York, killed eight people, sadly, in New York yesterday. Still grieving over that.
It's everywhere.
He had a Tampa license, but nobody ever saw him around here.
Yeah, it's probably like a rental or something. Who knows? Hey, you know, with the tour that Barry Rose put on, it got me thinking as they went around to different landmarks and stuff. Did you ever stay in Jimmy Garvin's apartment building, his apartment place, when you were starting out?
No, but Jimmy Garvin lived with me on Leroy McGurk's ranch for 6 months. I got some great stories. Jimmy and I had so much fun together. It's ridiculous. Him, Rick Rude, so many good guys. I miss all the guys so much. Jimmy's he's a pilot now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did a Q&A with him at the Charlotte Fan Fest. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, obviously, because of the national platform, I think there's a lot of, you know, WWE fans and more casual fans who think of you as a killer bee. And that's cool. That's cool, too. But I, for some reason, because my first exposure to you was reading in the magazines, I always think of you as a Florida guy, as a Florida wrestler before I think of the killer bees.
I also really appreciated the singles career that I was blessed with, you know, and being in Florida to be the Florida heavyweight champion is a really big deal. To wrestle the world champion all over, you know, Ric Flair was a big deal. And I was able to be 2-time Florida heavyweight champion, and I was a Southern heavyweight champion as well. And had a lot of great feuds with some great people, Ravishing Rick Rude, Jimmy Garvin, Colonel DeBeers, and you were just talking about him.
Jesse Barr
and Kendo Nagasaki, yeah. and Dory Funk Jr. Oh my God, I wrestled Dory Funk Jr. at least 200 times. And just a lot of great talent here. There always was great talent here. Everybody that was anybody, when Eddie Graham ran Championship Wrestling from Florida, came through the Florida territory.
One of the things, you know, I never got to see it in real time, but on YouTube I saw, you know, I see the Memphis stuff, and I think I've watched, you know, most of the Memphis stuff that's on YouTube. And Jerry Lawler in the early 80s talks about going to Florida, and he's wrestling in Florida. Was that to curry favor with Eddie Graham to possibly get an NWA title run? Why, do you know why he was always, or did he just like the weather in Florida? Why did he jump over and go to Florida?
I really don't know the inside story on that. All I know is that Jerry brought a lot of life to the territory and a lot of fun because he's always joking. I'll never forget. We're driving down the road. I'm with the Briscoes and Don Morocco. All of a sudden, this car passes us, and there's a guy in the passenger side reading the newspaper, and he's got his head kind of tucked in the newspaper. And there's nobody driving the car, and the light's on, and it's dark outside. You know, it's at night after the matches. And we all freaked out. You know, at that time, everybody's drinking beer and stuff and things they shouldn't be doing. But up in that, it was just absolutely so funny. It was Jerry Lawler and how he did that. I mean, I don't know, because it was too perfect. I mean, you could not see his left foot on the gas pedal or how he was steering the car or anything like that. I have no idea. He had to be like steering the car with his knee and pressing the gas pedal at the same time. It was just hilarious. You had to see it. But you can imagine that.
I mean, given the territory, what is it? Were you guys home every night, or did you have to like stay the night in Miami, or were you guys home every night?
We were home every night. Some of the guys would want to stay in Miami or the Bahamas, because we ran the Bahamas a lot, Freeport and Nassau, especially Nassau. But a typical schedule would be New York 3. I think we were off one day a year, and we did a lot of 2 and 4 shot a day events. So Monday you would be in West Palm or somewhere down south. Tuesday was Tampa at the Armory. Wednesday was television. You would wrestle they would film 2 hours, so you would wrestle twice on television. Then you would go to Miami. If you were lucky, you would fly. At that time, it was like $75 a person to fly. So if you weren't making $75 at least for a payoff, it didn't make sense to fly. But I flew a lot. It was great. I remember 6-9 Echo Golf. Eddie Graham used to take his plane a lot. And just a lot of fun times, bad storms, dusty roads. And let's see, it was Dusty and the Briscoes. I believe Morocco was on that flight as well. I can't think of this. I mean, it always takes 6 people. And anyway, it was one of the worst storms. People, I'll never forget turning around, because I was in the cockpit with Eddie. I turned around and we had just like dropped. It felt like a mile, but it wasn't a mile, but it felt like everything, like you just jumped off of a building. And it made my stomach turn. And I, just as I turned back to look, I mean, the dream just hurled. And, you know, stories like that, you know, you can never see that or have the opportunity to just experience that with that caliber of talent. And it was just amazing, the things we did. And I don't know how many times we did donuts with the Briscoes because of wet roads, or just, you know, God always watched over us for some reason, watches over fools and babies. And we obviously weren't babies, but, I mean, we literally spun around in the interstate a couple different times when the road was wet, just talking, singing Waylon Willie or whatever. We always had a tape. Gerald Briscoe made a tape, currently have, but it went from Jimmy Garvin stole it first. After Jimmy had it for a while, Jack stole it back. Jack had it. Morocco had it. Then somehow I wound up with it, but it's a great collection of Hank Williams Jr., Jerry Jeff Walker, and someone else is on there. I just mentioned a second ago. But I can still, if I can ever find a cassette, I can still listen to that, and it plays like brand new. So all the time we drive down the road, everybody was drinking beer. I don't, you know, it's bad to say, but it's the truth. And
it's a different time.
It's a different time. Exactly. It's a different time. And we'd sing the songs together. Everybody knew every word. It's just a lot of fun. Left a couple spare tires side of the road after two and a couple of us were, I guess we were all too not coherent enough to realize that we left the spare tire there.
Hey, as I've seen some of the shows on YouTube, you know, obviously, like I said, I grew up watching reading the magazines because I'm up here in Seattle, but the musical theater, is that like, were you guys on like a stage when you wrestled there? Because it seems like that was like a weekly stop in like the early to mid 80s. Where was that at? The musical theater. I just was like, what is that? What is a musical theater?
In Florida.
Yeah. I forget the city, but they said every week Barbara Cleary talked about some place that had a musical theater. And I was like, does that mean you're on stage? Maybe they started running that after you were gone.
I don't know. I mean, I was there when Barbara was there. That was the first time that I knew of that a woman actually became a color host with Gordon. And I started to tell you, like Monday we were in West Palm, Tuesday Tampa, Wednesday got sidetracked. Miami TV, then Miami. Thursday was either Jacksonville or another southern town. So you were always going up and down the state. Tampa's in the middle. So then Friday we'd go to Fort Lauderdale or another spot show. Saturday was either Lakeland or St. Petersburg, usually a big town. Sunday was always Eddie Graham Sports Arena, but every other week we would do Ocala at the High Life Ronton at 1 o'clock. I can't remember the music theater though, Jim. I know I've heard it. So you're right, I'm sure, but you know, maybe it's CTE. I don't know. By the way, I'm not in that concussion lawsuit.
So you could go into the Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame in theory then.
Well, Brunzell's in there, but you know, Jimmy and Jimmy will tell you, I mean, it's from his very first interview, he's knocked Vince, and him and Vince have never gotten along. They don't care for each other. I don't know if they've ever buried the hatchet really, but, you know, that was always a problem. You know, Jesse and Jimmy tried to start a union together. And I told him, you know, and I was actually, Jesse and I had adjoining apartments in Kansas City, in the Kansas City territory. Jesse Ventura and I, he had a little white bulldog named Arnold. And so Jesse and I would ride down the road the whole time, and I'd listen, and he'd be rocking, and he always had that Copenhagen in his mouth. And spitting and rocking and talking and talking. And so I might talk 5% of the time and listen 95% of the time, but it was all fun. And him and I worked at Angle. You know, they were so used to old people all the time. Same old guys. Jesse and I popped a Kansas City place, and there were a lot of people that couldn't get in that night. And Pat O'Connor and Bob Geigel and who else was running the territory then? One other guy. They generally went over the matches with everybody, and for some reason they were so excited about the crowd because they owned the territory. I guess Harley owned part of the territory, but he wasn't really, and he was always busy on the road somewhere. He wasn't there that night, and having a sellout, they forgot to give us a finish. So we went out there, and we were just too green for not giving us a finish. And so as soon as I went out there, Jesse ran for me and ran for me and ran for me. When I caught up, he begged off, and the people were standing up. The heat in the building was on fire. I hit him, and it was like the whole roof came off. So we kept it up, and he just wound up. I beat him too long. He should have stopped me to get some heat on me and then go into some kind of finish to come back. But instead he just ran and I chased him to the back, and it was, you know, they were really pissed about it, but like it was our fault. And anyway, that was a long territory, my worst territory.
Well, still
tag team champions with none of them were bad, but I'm just saying it was too long with not enough pay. There was nothing worse or nothing bad. It was just one of the longest territories that I worked miles wise with the least pay.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people say that about that territory. And yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, they're probably happy to have two young guys, and you were probably the best wrestler in the territory that wasn't an owner by far. So yeah, I'm sure the fans were thrilled to actually get some movement. Oh my gosh, someone's actually moving. What?
Fun stuff. Yeah. Golly, I have so many memories. You could name just about any wrestler, and I have a story with them. I mean, that's just When I say everybody went through Florida that was anybody, you always had those people that were stationed in that territory because they were the rock of the territory, like Bruno Sammartino or some of the guys in LA, even though Pat Patterson came here and Ray Stevens eventually came here. But, there was a lot of people out in different territories that just pretty much stayed there and didn't go to a lot of places, a lot of people. And actually the Seattle, Don Owens territory, stayed there for a long time and didn't come to Florida. I don't know if Piper ever came to Florida while Eddie was there.
Yeah, he came through briefly. Yeah, he came through very, very briefly. There is video of him, Piper and Charlie Cook. There's video of them having a little back and forth on the set with Gordon in the middle. And then there's an interview. I forget if it's with Barbara or Gordon. But yeah, Piper was in Florida for like a cup of coffee.
Right. And, a lot of guys, that happened with a lot of guys. And so it's hard to remember everybody that came through here. And then again, I wasn't here the whole time. I had a career to go build and a road to follow. And I was very fortunate to have the Briscoes who really pushed me and, a guy like Buddy Colt to help me out and good guys like Hiro Matsuda and Carl Gotch and Bob Backlund, to come, stretch me a little. And we were learning UFC before UFC was was popular. Eddie Graham didn't want anybody to get beat up. His fear, and he would tell everybody, you better not get beat up by a mark. That's what he would say all the time. Nobody here better get beat up by a mark or you're not going to be in third. He would preach that. And especially to the young guys, that were breaking in. And when I started, Paul Orndorff started, I went back to college for 3 summers and worked out with all these different great Gordon Nelson, all these wonderful people that really knew, the art of hooking. And, was such an honor to learn with them. And I remember, getting the Hiro down and thinking that I was kicking his butt, and all of a sudden he almost broke my ankle like he did Terry's. So out of the 3 summers I was there, 3 people actually made it. And some made it in other territories that started, for example, Danny Spivey, Scott Hall, started somewhere else. But they tried out. I mean, there was over 100 people during those 3 summers and most of them left without their clothes. That's just the way they wanted.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
If you didn't... I remember... they would always want you to hurt people, and I didn't like to do that. I don't like that, period. And the only time where I really got a little crazy was Buddy Colt's soon-to-be son-in-law had pushed his mother down the stairs. He was a crazy guy. He pushed his sister down the stairs. I believe he had a big thing about pushing him down these 10 stairs and literally could have killed him, but he was a real loose cannon. And he always wanted to wrestle Dusty Rhodes. He swore he could beat Dusty Rhodes. He had a pair of boots like Dusty's. And so Buddy Colt told him, look, there's a guy named Brian Blair. He's not even broke. He's not even a wrestler yet. And when he is, he's going to be a preliminary guy. If you can beat him, then I'll get you a match with Dusty. So the guy agreed to that. And Buddy kept telling me, if you don't beat the crap out of this guy, I'm going to be so peed and da 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 da. And so a bunch of the guys came down and were watching. So, of course, that gives you a little bit of angst. But he was bouncing up and, bouncing back and forth and moving his arm, doing the Dusty Rhodes shuffle. And Buddy said, okay, I want you guys to shake hands and I want to see who's got what. I want to see who can, you know, blah, 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 whatever he said. And as we did that, he went, and he spit right in my face. Big loogie.
Oh, my.
And that was a bad mistake.
Wow.
Bad mistake. He left without his clothes, and he was, you couldn't even recognize him by the time, and I don't say this in a bragging way because I didn't like to do this, absolutely, but as he was running out the door and I was chasing him, Black Jack Mulligan's coming in. Black Jack looks at that guy and he looks at me and I'll never forget him saying this. He looked at me and goes, "Damn, I'm sure glad I'm already broken." as if anybody's going to beat up Black Jack. So, but just the way he said it was so hilarious. He was laughing so hard and thought it was so funny. But anyway, that's how Florida was.
Wow. I mean, you know, for people don't understand, it's like you had to protect the business, and that guy, I'll bet he hasn't watched wrestling since then, but who knows?
Well, according to Buddy, he kind of straightened out and never touched the mom or the wife after that, or the sister.
What?
And yeah, so I guess he learned a lesson.
Yeah, so
he never did get he never got a match with Dusty, though.
Yeah, sometimes a little tough love is good.
And yeah, there you go, Jim.
What do people need to do to sign up for Cauliflower Alley? Where can they find the information?
They go to CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. Just very easy. If you misspell it, it'll still come up. Cauliflower Alley Club, like it sound. CauliflowerAlleyClub.org. And there's a place to sign up, and it's very interesting stuff. And soon we'll have your podcasts up, and it'll be even more interesting.
Oh, you're very kind. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great organization. And like I said, it's either $25 a year or it's like $300, I think, somewhere around plus or minus in there for a lifetime membership. So, you know, it's relatively affordable to join at any level. And the money goes to help you know, a lot of the brethren, the ring of friendship of people who have fallen on some hard times. So it's a great cause. And again, great fans who really appreciate and know the history. And if you go to the convention, the reunion that happens in Las Vegas, you know, you get some interaction. You know, I know that, Brian, I saw you at times at TGI Fridays or around one of the other bars at the Gold Coast, telling some stories to some fans, and I know that they really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun, and you're not the only one who does that. I make no promises, mind you, but I know that it does happen, and odds are very good that you'll get some interaction with a lot of different people if you decide to go. And you can still sign up, right? You can still go to the reunion, right?
Absolutely, you can still go. We do sell out, so you definitely want to make plans. And I know that people have been getting tickets for less than $300 now all over the country to Vegas for those dates. So again, that's the official days. You can go to the website and see, but it's May 30th through April 2nd. And again, there's wrestling 2 days before. There's always things to do. There's seminars, as you said, Jim Valley, and there are cribbage tournaments. And, you know, Orton Jr. is so upset because he's come second 2 years in a row. And so he swears he's going to win. Bob Orton Jr. swears he's going to win the cribbage tournament this year. There's a bowling championship we have. There are so many things to do. You probably won't even leave the Gold Coast, but if you do, there's a train that goes around Vegas. There's all kinds of things to do there. You can make a vacation out of it. And again, $25 a year, $50 for 2 years, $75 for 3 years. Go ahead and become a life member for $300. You never have to join again, because once you go, you'll find that to be one of the most entertaining events that you will ever go to if you're a wrestling fan or a wrestler.
And you know, I know that some of the men, the adults, they get a limo and go to a Cheetah's where the Godfather from WWE, and I know that that's been popular with some people. I certainly do not partake in that, but I know some people do, but...
About, you never saw me there. Anyway...
I wasn't there either.
But anyway,
things to do.
Yeah, it's a great time. I mean, I just enjoy, to me, the Cauliflower Alley Club members are, it's just like talking to the boys to me. I mean, they're like, they become brothers and sisters, and, you know, it's just friendship, and I love it. And, you know, when they appreciate good road stories, you know, I sit and talk to them as long as I can. I try to talk to everybody. So, you know, sometimes it's not as long as I want it to be, but there's so many people and friends that, you know, even if I go away, there's 1,000 guys better than me that can come up and tell you stories, and they will, and you'll have a great time. And it's just, that's the bottom line. You'll have a great time, and it's very well organized. And you'll find this year, Jim Valley, that it is organized better than ever, and you're going to see some new things happening that hopefully you will like. And also, we will have Rickhouse Brown there, which should be very interesting. He wants to tell his story about what the Cauliflower Alley Club did for him. Should be really interesting.
And you'll also see Baron Von Raschke get the Iron Mike Award, Santana Garrett get the Women's Award, and Kevin Cross get the Rising Star Award. Well, look, I really appreciate your time, Brian. I want to let you go so you can get ready for Game 7 of the World Series. Who are you rooting for, by the way?
Well, of course, Houston, Lance McCullers Jr. I coached him at Forest Hills, worked with his dad, and always coached against his dad primarily. And Lance McCullers Sr., who was a tremendous pitcher for the Astros for 7 years. And Lance, his dad, was the best coach at Forest Hills Youth Baseball. A tremendous coach, tremendous. He has Lance Jr., McCullers Jr., who will probably be the starting pitcher tonight for the Astros. He has two brothers that were good baseball players, the twins. Great mom, Stacy, was always on our board. I coached there for 20 seasons, and a lot of great baseball talent has come out of Tampa at Forest Hills Youth Baseball. As a matter of fact, the team I managed was the only park baseball team to ever go to the Final Four for the World Series. We went to the Final Four. Last three teams went. We took fifth place. The top four teams went. We lost in Houston, but we won the state, the southern, southeastern zone, all of our zones. We won. We got to Houston, and then they have a bracket of the zone winners from half of the United States, which was us. They have them broken up, and then you meet, and there's probably 20 teams there, and we came in fifth. It was a great time. We lost to a straight AAU team out of Houston, and that was again in Burleson, Texas. It was a great time. Great time. So
people find you on Twitter. Oh, so you're rooting for Houston.
Yes, I'm rooting for Houston. I am. Right. And I respect both teams. They're great baseball players, and I love baseball. It's a great sport. Nobody kneels in baseball. I appreciate that. So, anyway, man, love you, Jim. Love the Pro Wrestling Torch. Shout out to all the fans. Thank you for all the past support and for the future support. I'm all over the place. I'll be in, coming up, I'll be in November 9th. I'll be in Indiana. I'm trying to think of the town in Indiana. Jeez, too many towns I have coming up. But it's always a lot of fun. And so I hope Fort Wayne. Thank you. So if anybody sees me around, please come up and say hello and mention that you heard me with Jim Valley or mention Pro Wrestling Torch, and I'll give you a free comic book. Because that's what we didn't talk about was my new comic books, man. Those are hot right now. We sold completely out of the first run, and we're already back up second run. And you can get the Killer Bees comic book at inversepress.com or squaredcircle.com, and please check it out. I mean, they're cheap. They're like $5, you know. Good.
I feel so terrible. I apologize. Anyway, the comic book. So is it you and Jim fighting crime? What are you guys doing? Tell me about what's the premise.
Eventually, that's funny you said that, but anyway, nobody knows it. But so I'm gonna leave that there. What the real deal is right now is that The first issue is about the story of my whole life story in a comic book, and it's actual and factual, and it leads up to where Hulk Hogan is introducing Jim Brunzell and I in Brantford, Ontario, right as we're going to be the Killer Bees. And we haven't been named yet. So then the second issue is Jim Brunzell, how he grew up, and it'll end at the same place. And then Killer Bees 3 comes out, the story of the Killer Bees together. And they actually have 3 and 4. And then there's a plan for, it's just the wildest plot. I'll send it to you if you can't save it. The plot.
That's a cool idea. Okay, so how many is it? Your issue out right now, or is Jim's issue out as well?
My issue is out right now, and Jim's issue comes out, I believe, January 1st.
Okay. And you can follow Brian Blair on Twitter. He's at KillerB, B-E-E, 1B with a letter B. So it's KillerB, like the Killer Bees, the number 1, and then the letter B. You can follow him on Twitter, and be sure to keep track of. And you're also on Facebook. Do you have a? Can you add friends on Facebook, or are you full?
I'm full on my. You can go to the Killer Bees page and get on that page, and I do answer the mail there. Or you can go to B. Brian Blair. I have that Twitter page also, and you can also go to the Cauliflower Alley Club on Facebook. That's what I meant to say. Did I say Twitter? Facebook. And I don't have Messenger. And you what a gimmick that is. I installed Messenger. You may have it. But as soon as I did, for like hours, my phone was pinging off the hook. And people, they give out my phone number. People started calling me, and I was going crazy. So I undid Messenger, because I always get these notes. Hey, I sent you a message on Messenger, and I didn't hear from you or whatever. You got to respond directly. So I apologize for that. But most of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me, Jim. Thank you to the guys at Pro Wrestling Torch, to everybody. And it's been a great experience. I got some great road stories I have to share with you sometime.
We'll have you on again.
And I can't wait to see you at Cauliflower Alley Club.
Absolutely. And we'll make plans to get you back on this show, and we'll make plans to get you on the Cauliflower Alley radio show and kind of talk about what your mission statement is as a president. That's something I want to get into when we get you on that podcast in the very near future. But go have fun, go enjoy, and root on Houston. And be Brian Blair, thank you so much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Jim. God bless.
There's the man, B. Brian Blair, one of the Killer Bees. We'll be back here on Wrestling Road Stories coming up next.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled, or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
Well, there we go. We broke some news today on the Wrestling Road Stories. Really cool. That's a big deal. I'm really honored that Brian Blair did that. That's really cool. So the Iron Mike Award is the top award because Mike Mazurki founded the Cauliflower Alley Club. So Baron Von Raschke getting the top award this year. That's going to be tremendous. Then, of course, Santana Garrett, who's been on the indie scene for a long time, kind of a protege of Scott Hall a little bit, Florida, all over the place. She, TNA, she's done. She's going to be the women's recipient. And then the rising star, Kevin Cross. That's a great choice, too. So lots of good talent, lots of history. And we will catch you next week here on Wrestling Road Stories on the PW Torch Livecast. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Valley, or you can also find me on Facebook at Jim Valley. And don't forget the Pacific Rim podcast. Search for it on iTunes. Fumi Saito and I, if you want to just have a quick, breezy conversation and get up to speed on Japanese wrestling, Japanese history, and the history of wrestling throughout the ages. Check it out. I'm really proud of it. I think it's a great show. Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. And we will see you next week here on the Pro Wrestling Livecast. See ya.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.